This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, you are listening to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm Ed. Welcome back after a mini summer break. We are all set for what we hope will be a series of closed season specials, the first of which is today. It's Tuesday, late afternoon, and I'm recording an intro ahead of tonight's long-awaited trust members and shareholders meeting. Like most fans, I'm not entirely sure what to expect. The rumour mill has been going into overdrive, which I guess is what happens when so much of the communications about the meeting has been incomplete or ambiguous. A lot of us have a theory about what we might be expecting tonight, but I think more than anything, we just want to get some facts and information and for there to be a proper conversation between board and fans about where we are and what might happen next. So that's all I'm going to say by way of an introduction. The general plan, I think, tonight is to go along, listen, make copious notes, and then hopefully wrangle a few friends of the pod to a pub afterwards to try and make sense of it all with an actual live face-to-face recording. So, yeah, let's head off to Newport in a bit and see what happens.
Right, so 20 past nine, the meeting finished at 9 o'clock, almost on the dot. And I've wandered over to Tiny Rebel with friend of the pod, Ollie Allen. Hello, Ollie.
Evening, Matt.
Lots to pick through from that. I think it was quite a vibrant meeting. Lots of questions, lots of repeated questions. But, I mean, one of the things I was saying to you on the walk over was it was quite interesting. I mean, we'll get to the details of it in a minute, but just from like a narrative point of view, we had some of the bad news, which we'll talk about, and you could feel the audience getting quite hostile. And then it was almost like a couple of the questioners kind of overplayed their hands and went a bit too aggressive, went in studs up on some of the members of the board. And you could feel the mood of the room just kind of changing, and actually people were then sort of getting a bit more like behind the board. It's almost like, you know, if an opposition player or an opposition crowd really have a go at your team, you suddenly feel much more protective of them. And by the end, I think it felt as though the room was quite supportive. Was that how you judged it?
Yeah, it was. I feel like we've come out of the meeting a bit closer to the board with a lot of questions answered, but a few still remaining unanswered, or a few new ones that have come from tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my feeling is probably that, as always, and I always praise everything I ever say about the trust and the board with this, that, you know, these are people giving up their time for free to try and run our club, and I'm always grateful to them for doing that. Tonight was no different. Having said that, I think it's pretty clear that from the material that was divulged in the meeting, there are some kind of structural problems, and I think the current board need help and support in order to address those. So maybe let's kind of get into it a bit. So the meeting started with what I thought was quite an interesting running over of events of the last like 9 months, starting with the departure of James Robey. It kept being phrased as like, the departure of James Robey. James Robey departed the club. No one ever seemed to want to use the word sacked, so I don't know whether we were supposed to kind of be skirting around that. But yeah, so from Robey's departure, Coughlan being recruited within 10 days, which, you know, when you look back at it, it felt like an age, but yeah.
When it was put like that, I kind of helped look back with the hands up in praise to the board. If again, they're right in that length of time. Obviously, hindsight did a beautiful thing, but they did get it right with Graham Coughlan, so one thing they do have to be praised.
Absolutely. And then, so that was kind of October time, and then, as the board said, they had a really bad November with a whole kind of range of factors, you know, financial stuff off the pitch. So Hood Hill Motors going bust meant that we lost a load of money.
Kit suppliers, part of Hemel went.
Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly. And then we had club's general manager going off on long-term sick. And it felt as though all of those things together then saw them bring in Nick Igo, who some people will remember as, you know, he's given financial advice to the board when we first became a supporter-led club, and he's sort of been around and providing advice at various points since then. But he was obviously brought in towards the end of last year to conduct a review of finances and look at our kind of accounting practices, partly, I suppose, triggered by Elite and Hood Hill and the mess that kind of they left behind them, but then also, I guess, the loss of the club's general manager for a time put even more pressure on us to understand the financial picture. And what he seemed to unveil and what was explained to fans tonight was this kind of 1.2 million hole in the finances that effectively incorrectly reported accounts at last year's AGM, where we were given figures that suggested we had more or less broken even during the 21-22 season, but in actual fact, having had a kind of deep dive into the numbers and kind of looking properly through the books, I mean, Nick was very open about it. He said that those numbers were not robust, were not reliable, and were factually inaccurate. And actually, having looked through it properly, he has found that we lost over £1 million during that 12-month period, which is a kind of eye-watering amount of money for a club of our size and our turnover. And, yeah, kind of jaws dropped a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well, to break down that £1 million loss, what was kind of roundaboutly explained by the board was any League 2 club is always going to have a £300k loss just for running and how that goes. And what they attributed a lot of other losses to was extraordinary occurrences.
But during that 12-month period, clearly the numbers weren't right, and the numbers that were reported to last year's AGM were incorrect. And, you know, the ball has clearly been dropped somewhere, because, you know, we had accounts which were agreed by the board, audited, went to the AGM and were signed off, that were built on sand, effectively. So, and what I thought was quite interesting under questioning later on in the meeting, you know, they were reluctant to apportion blame, and I understand why, and I also understand why they were reluctant to bring this out into the open until after the season, because, you know, they didn't want to distract from the task we had on the pitch. But I was a bit surprised they weren't more apologetic for it. In fact, I asked a question, saying, you know, do you feel that fans are owed an apology? I thought I was making life easier for them, because I thought Sean at that point would say, yes, we are sorry, this happened on our watch, it shouldn't have done, we're sorry, we're going to put it right. But they seemed very reluctant to kind of accept responsibility, and there were sort of mutterings about HR and personnel processes and not wanting to say anything that might get them in hot water, which I can understand. But
at the start, it was we're sort of sorry, and it was kind of something that just happened. And then eventually they was like, okay, we are sorry, it happened under our control, it was part of our responsibility. But they was there was a lot of members in the bed who were seemingly attempting to say the past is the past and we need to focus on the future. It's the perfect opportunity for them to win back over the trust members and the people who were in attendance to say, look, sorry, we got it wrong. It's our job now to make sure we don't get it wrong again.
Yeah, and particularly because, you know, some of the key members of that board have departed over the last few months, and you know they don't need to name them and they don't need to blame it specifically on them, but I think they can still say this is why we need to fill some of the gaps that now exist and so on. So there was some discussion about that loss, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more said and written about that over the coming weeks. They then also, quite interestingly I thought, did some benchmarking where they talked about where counties sit in comparison to other clubs in the fourth division in terms of how much money we are able to spend on player wages by the time you look into all the kind of financial fair play stuff, our standard turnover versus our kind of extra turnover, if you like, from cup runs, donations from directors and all the rest of it, you know, and we are bottom of that league. Which I thought was really telling that you know, there's clubs like Salford or Leyton Orient who can draw on big loans or donations from directors. There are clubs like, I know they aren't in our league this season, but they will be next year, Forest Green, who managed to kind of balance the books by getting paid ridiculous amounts for sponsorship from other clubs in the from other companies in the same group. Putting it into that context, I think, does underline something that we've talked about before, that, you know, we are a small club, not just in terms of attendances but also in terms of the resources that we can draw on. We don't have the kind of non-match day income that clubs who own their ground can pull on and stuff. So I thought that was timely and well explained. And then I think it kind of went open to questions then.
They did briefly mention what sort of improvement and thinking we're looking at, but they didn't really go into a level of detail to kind of satisfy you and kind of leave you knowledgeable on what the improvements are. They floated about academy improvement and trying to get more local commercial partners on board and bringing the kit release forward into the summer a little earlier than they usually do. But
well, and they also said that they're going to try and improve communication, which I think I've heard at every single trust meeting I've ever been to. They said, we acknowledge that communication is not great. And in fairness to Sean Johnson, who did most of the talking, he did offer to come on a future episode of the podcast. So we will invite him on and hopefully get to talk to him about some of this in more detail. They did also say, and I thought this was really positive, and it didn't really get much attention because there were bigger issues to talk about, but they're getting Colin Everett, again, you know, well-known face around the club, to do a review of skills that they've got on the board and skills deficiencies on the board, and you know, what needs to happen so that, you know, we don't find ourselves in this kind of position again, and that we've got people who can be interrogating accounts in the right way and everything else. And I think that's a real positive. It's something I've banged on about when we had the first fans meeting in the Riverfront Theatre, kind of whatever it was, 10 years ago. You know, there should be auditing of the skills that there are amongst trust members so that the board can be making full use of them, because there's an awful, you know, we've seen it on the pod, there's an awful lot of energy and expertise and ideas out there, but harnessing it is a job of work. But if you do it properly, you can draw on a whole load of people and expertise. So I hope that goes well. That sounded really positive. And then we moved on to questions. Brendan, who uses of We Are Exiles will know as Stan Einstein, had several points to make and made them very vociferously. I mean, his main question that he was trying to get at is, you know, the money that 1.2 million that wasn't correctly accounted for, you know, what happened with that? Was there something untoward? Was there fraud, embezzlement, whatever? You know, and the board members and Nick categorically said there has been nothing improper has happened with that money.
There's nothing untoward.
Nothing untoward was the phrase they kept using. You know, but they were adamant that there is nothing that has happened with that is illegal or untoward. And I think, you know, we have to take them at face value. They didn't want to get into apportioning blame publicly, which I can understand, but I do hope that behind the scenes at least there is some sort of reckoning about what went wrong and who, if anyone, was at fault in not reporting things accurately. There have been a lot of people who've left the board over recent months, and you know, some of those have had ill health, and I take that at face value, and you don't want to necessarily be kicking people whilst they're down, so I can understand all of that. There were other questions as well. I thought there was an interesting question about Rodney Parade and the lease on that. No fresh lease has been signed yet, but there is a clearly discussions are ongoing with the landlord. Hopefully we will get to hear more about that in due course.
I believe Sean said that we are playing there next year.
Yes,
from 2025-26 it's a requirement of EFL clubs to have a rolling 10-year lease on whatever ground they're playing in. So
yeah, that kind of ongoing uncertainty has long been known to be a challenge. Yeah. And clearly, because of all the other difficulties that have been going on over the last 6 months, sorting out a long-term lease or arrangement with the Dragons has perhaps not been top of mind. Which kind of brings us on to one of the other things that has happened in the last 6 months, which is the arrival onto the board of John Pratt, who I gather joined the meeting online tonight, although from what I see of other people trying to join online, whether he heard anything is an open question. He clearly came onto the board at the start of the year, apparently having been told of the extent of our financial situation, and many of us, including me, thought that tonight we might hear something from him about what his future involvement might look like, or perhaps even hear a vision for the club being outlined and a kind of something being put to the fans in terms of a future bid. That wasn't forthcoming. There were, I think, hints being dropped here and there that there may be something in the fullness of time, but he's still kind of reviewing his position.
Pete Madigan did make it clear that he's yet to form the latest plans, but what stage he was at regarding formulating a plan is kind of still up in the air.
Yeah, and so I think that's a watching brief. And again, if you're listening, John, come onto the pod. We'd love to have a conversation and just find out about your history with supporting County and what perhaps you might be interested in doing in the future. But as I said to you on walking over, Ol, if nothing else, having someone on the board who can read a balance sheet and has built up this kind of impressive business CV can be no bad thing. So even if he's just there for his expertise, he's not putting a solitary dime in, I think he's still someone who's worth his weight in gold.
Exactly, and I think that was one of the running themes of the meeting, is what is the board like at the moment, what is their skill set, and then John Pratt is here to plug financial knowledge area of expertise and how to bring in more money to the club. If that's what his role is going forward, then there's no negative to that.
No, exactly. You know, we'll wait and see where we end up with the kind of John Pratt interest, but I'm not too worried that we didn't hear anything huge yet, because we were given a very firm assurance on a number of times during the course of the meeting that if there was a bid by John Pratt, or indeed anyone else, that trust members will have the ultimate sign-off and discussion. And there was an indication that after the AGM, perhaps later in the summer or in the autumn, there will be a discussion or a meeting of trust members to explore what future ownership models might look like, or you know, where the club may look to go next, given, as you said, the kind of ongoing financial challenge of just sustaining a club in this division. So I was reassured by that, because I had a concern that there may be an attempt to just kind of say, well, things are difficult, we've got someone who's willing to invest, so let's just go and rush to that straight away, you know, any port in a storm type thing. But actually it sounds as though the board are committed to, you know, the fans having the final say, which is exactly how it should be. And you know, I kind of believe in fan ownership almost as like an article of faith. I think that is how football clubs should be run. I accept not everyone feels the same, but if we're going to move away from that fan ownership model, I think it's something that warrants proper detailed discussion and for different viewpoints to be heard. And it sounds as though the board agree with that, so I'm pleased that happened.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think now if there was anything else that came up.
Did mention in terms of season ticket sales, we're around about 1,600. The season just gone, I believe someone mentioned that we were 2,200.
Yeah, and that includes like half season tickets bought at Christmas and stuff. So, I mean, they indicated that they reckon we'll probably sell another 500 between now and first game of the season. So that sounds as though we are close to where we were last year, which I think last year was a record number of season tickets since the club reformed. So anything near 2,000, I think, is really good, especially when we've had quite a middling season just gone. So, I mean, that suggests things are pretty stable in terms of the people coming through the gate, if nothing else.
The board intend on giving Graham Cockburn and Chris Finn a competitive budget. How much that will be in terms of real money, who knows, but they did mention that Graham Cockburn is looking for value for money for his players and his signing.
Well, I should bloody well hope so, because you know, if we're not trying to get value for money, then we are in real trouble.
Is that another giving in a football signing looking for value for money?
Well, it certainly is for Newport County. I mean, someone did sometimes say, do we have any signings to announce tonight, and I was desperately hoping that Wilfred Boney would jump out from behind a stand somewhere and in his tracksuit, but alas not. But again, credit to the board, because I think I'd have been tempted in their shoes to just, you know, whisk out a signing or a distraction, you know, given the bad news they had to get across. But there wasn't any of that. I think they did front up to it well. They didn't say, oh, look, we've got Graham Cockland here and let's use up an hour of the meeting asking him questions, or look, here's a new signing, let's, you know, again, waste some time. They did. We had 2 hours of proper good discussion, and I think they fronted up well to it. I think, you know, as we kind of draw this discussion to an end, I think my reflection, as always, is what can the trust do better? What can the board do better? But equally, what can we as trust members do better to help them? The ongoing gripe that lots of us have, I think, about poor communication remains. I understand, with all of the difficulties that have been going on, and we've talked about them, communication with the fans is perhaps not necessarily the thing that is most on fire that day that the board have to deal with. But I think surely no one on the board can think that the comms in the build-up to this meeting were handled brilliantly. So as well as improving commercial awareness and accounting awareness and everything else, I do hope that there is a concerted effort to bring someone onto the board with some ideas around how the trust can communicate better with fans, because we need to grow the trust membership, we need to grow trust donations, and people are not going to join or give more unless they feel that they're getting value for money. And I think one of the ways that can happen is through better communication. So, but again, I think probably the trust board members there tonight will have acknowledged that. Yeah, that for me is the biggest priority for what happens next. How about you, Will?
I think the main kind of story that came out of tonight was there was a big accounting error. It's gone wrong somewhere down the line. Looking forward, they're looking to build the board of directors' expertise and kind of try and provide a situation where we are sustainable and maybe break even.
Yeah, and as we said right at the top of the discussion, I'm sure there'll be a lot more said and written and explored about how that £1.2 million mistake came about. And rightly, and you know, questions do need to be asked about it, and it's a concern to trust members. But equally, we've all got to kind of play our part and try and help make sure that it doesn't happen again by making sure that good people are putting themselves forward for trust elections, and that we are kind of turning up to AGMs and everything else to give those things due diligence. So I mean, there we go. I'm sure we'll have further conversations about it over the course of the summer. Who knows? We may even have further discussions about it over the course of the summer with members of the current board, or maybe even with John Pratt. Let's hope. But I think that'll do us for tonight. We'll carry on drinking in Tiny Rebel. But as always, stay safe, look out for each other, and keep it county.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.